Kerr on the drums. Wow, what a treat for us today. Wasn't that just beautiful? Welcome, everyone. Welcome to church today. Welcome if you're joining us for the first time or watching online. It is so good to be bringing God's word today because we need it, don't we? We need God's word, especially right now. There is so much going on in our world today. In fact, Martin led us in that and our pondering through our worship today. There's so much going on, so much pain, so much suffering. There are wars, there are rumors of wars. Humanity is struggling in so many different ways. I don't know about you, church, but at times that overwhelms me. It overwhelms me. What we see in the news, what we hear from our friends and family, what you're going through right now, it can overwhelm me. It can make me feel a little hopeless. I don't mind admitting that today. There's been times recently in my own life where I've felt hopeless, where I've not known what to do, what to say, when I felt a little hopeless. I wonder if that's how you feel today. The Christian life, well, as Christians, we're not supposed to feel like that, are we? We are the hope believers, the ones that are supposed to be filled with hope. I get that. There are so many scriptures in God's word that speak of hope. Jeremiah 29:11 says that we have a hope and a future. Romans 12:12 says that we are to be joyful in hope. Not miserable in hope, but joyful in hope. The psalmist writes that the Lord delights in those who place their hope and trust in God. And hear this one from Proverbs. There is hope for you. Did you catch that? There is hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Amen. So many encouraging scriptures in the Word of God. However, that does not mean, dear one, that you will never experience hopelessness. In fact, I think that there are so many scriptures in the Word of God today about hope, because I believe that the Lord knew that there would be times in our lives where we would feel hopeless, where we would feel helpless. And these words are sent to encourage us today to have hope. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you give up hoping, when all hope is fading, when we lose heart, our heart grows heavy, weary, and gets sick. The strength of hope is what sustains the heart, isn't it? But when we lose it, our heart becomes heavy. And well, the Lord does not want your heart to be sick today, no. He wants your heart today to be filled with His hope. God wants to give you, God wants to release today hope back into your hearts and minds. Is that your desire today? Good. For the three that said amen. Because that's exactly what we're going to look at today and next week. We're going to look at hope. So what is hope? Well, just the other week at Abide, I spend every Wednesday in prayer with a lovely group of people. And John Watt prayed a couple of weeks ago, and as he prayed, that I just sat up and paid attention. And he said this about hope. He said that hope is like a light being turned on in your heart. That's exactly what hope is. It's like someone switching a light on in your heart. Hope keeps us going. Hope gives us a desire to believe in something better, something bigger. Hope is what sustains us through the hard times. Hope is why we've got cures for illnesses and diseases. Hope is why we've got breakthrough in technology because hope stirred in the hearts of men and women to change things. Hope gets things done. Have you noticed that? Keeps us going and gets things done. However, hopelessness can cause us to sit back and watch the world passes by. And the Father does not want that for you. Our biggest challenge regarding hope is holding on to it. Never losing it, that can be hard. It's hard to wait to see those desires, those prayers answered. It's hard when you've been waiting for a long, long time for that breakthrough to come. It's difficult to have hope when you face pain and disappointment and pressure in your life time after time. It's hard to hope then. I wonder if you're here today and you know what that feels like. I felt like this. I felt the weariness of trying to sustain hope when I felt hopelessness. When you've been given bad news, or you've been waiting for that prayer to be answered, or someone has spoken dreaded words over you. When your life turns upside down in an instance. When the doctor comes and gives you that news. When the letter is received. In that moment, when you're faced with disappointment, and you stop and you think, this was not the plan. This was not what I intended. This is not what I prayed for. This is not what I hoped for. When life turns upside down on its head, whether you're going through a big change in life, whether it's your health, whether it's a relationship issue, it can be difficult to hold on. It can be difficult to hold on when all hope is gone in tough and uncertain times. It can be difficult to look beyond what you currently see, your circumstances. It's hard to see in those moments the light at the end of the tunnel. As I've said, whether it's a life change, whether it's a family issue, whether it's a health concern that you're going through right now, maybe you're finding it difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel. When I think of hope, when I think of hope in my heart, what I see is sunlight. I've shared this before at Women to Women. I see sunlight and I see warmth. In fact, when I see that word hope, I feel a heat. I see sunlight and I feel a warmth. That's what hope invokes inside of me. It's very similar to how John described it in prayer. It's like looking up from my darkness and looking into the light. You see, when we're in a place of hopelessness, when we're in a place of pain and despair, let's be honest, all we can see is our circumstances. It causes us to look down. Have you noticed that? Our heads go down. When you feel despair and helplessness, your head goes down. All you can see is your circumstances. However, let me tell you something about hope. Hope is about looking up from your circumstances. Hope is about looking out of the darkness and into the light. Hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus is the light of the world. He told us that. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the sunlight in our darkness. He is the light that is switched on in our heart that brings us hope, that brings us joy, that brings us peace. And when we feel hopeless, when we feel helpless, he is the one that will provide you with hope. Is that your desire today? To be filled once again with hope. You're in the right place, because Romans 15 verse 13 says, now may the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. To abound sounds like that. That wasn't planned. To abound in hope sounds like that, because it is an overflow. To overflow with hope. It's joyful. And he will fill you with that joy and that hope because it comes from him. The psalmist writes, yes, my soul finds rest in God. Not in the world, in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress and I will not be shaken. He is the one that can lift up your head. Because, Lord, you are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head, Psalm 33. He is the one that can lift your head up from your circumstances. He is the one that can lead you out of the darkness into his glorious light of hope. So what we're hearing today, hope comes from the Lord. He is the hope provider. And let me tell you something, he's here. Amen. So when all hope is gone, when it feels like the end, let me encourage you today, dear one, it's not the end. It's not the end. He says, I can provide for you that hope today that you need. I can bring that light into your darkness. I can bring the warmth when you feel out in the cold. I can do it because I am your hope. So you may be here this morning and you've happened upon this place and you're thinking that all sounds rather nice, but you don't know what I'm going through right now. You don't know the pressures that are on my shoulder right now, that I am struggling and I don't think I've got the strength within me right now to keep on hoping. Well, let me tell you, not only is he the one that fills you with hope, but he is the one that will give you the strength to hope. He will. Isaiah 40, verse 31. These are not my words, church. These are the word of God. They come from the Father's heart directly to your heart this very day. He says, but those who hope in me, those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in me, he's saying, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not grow faint. Amen and hallelujah. So you may be here today and you may be tired. And you may be battle weary. And you may feel like you are at the end of yourself. But let me tell you, dear one, it's not over. It's far from over. Turn to the light. Look up from your circumstances. Look out from the darkness. Yes, you might still be in it right now, but you can look out from it. And you look to Jesus. For he is your hope and he will give you the strength to soar. He will give you the strength to soar. Not just get through it. No. He will give you the strength to soar and come out the other end of it. He's the one that can do that. Do you believe it? Let me tell you something. For those of us that are here this morning that believe it, for those of us that are in the house today, who are willing today to take a chance on Jesus, to place your hope and trust in these truths, he delights in you. Psalm 147, 11. The Lord delights in those who fear him and those who place their hope in his unfailing love. He delights in you. He cares for you. He loves you. It's his desire to lead you out of that place of darkness, whatever has caused you to be in that darkness. It's his desire to lead you out of that. To look up from the dirt that you see. Because you see, he is the only one that can take those ashes and he can turn them into something quite beautiful. And here's the truth that we must hold fast to when considering the hope that we have, the hope that Jesus brings, the hope that we've been talking about so far this morning, is that this hope is unlike any other hope that you will ever find or experience in this world. It is more powerful than I hope it doesn't rain today. Although I do hope it doesn't rain today. It's a glorious day today. But it is grander, it's greater, and it's more powerful than I hope my team wins the league. It is such a truth from heaven to you today that you can place your hope in him. Because it's unlike any hope that you will find out there. Because let me tell you something about this hope. It is a living, eternal hope. At Woman to Woman, we call this a hope ever after, because it is ever after. It's eternal and it is living. So let's look at what the Bible says about living eternal hope. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read about the Apostle Peter, of course, one of the disciples. We meet him at first. He's a fisherman. He's doing his thing. His name is Simon. Back then, Jesus commands him. He calls to him, come, follow me. He lets everything go. He lets down his nets. He gives up his livelihood, and he follows Jesus. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Did he make mistakes? Absolutely, yes. But never once did Jesus abandon him. He kept on loving him. He never gave up in him. He stood with him time and time again. He even gave him a new name. A new name. He called him Peter, the rock in which I will build my church. And there's that sense that Peter became the leader of this apostolic group, this group of men and women that were there at the time. He was an important and he was an influential man. And he was there at the time as he established the early church. And at this particular time, he chose to write some letters, as many of them did. And he chose to write letters to a specific group. He chose to write letters to five regions in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, to the persecuted church. Think about that for a moment. Who are these people? What are they feeling? What are they experiencing at this time? They're scared. They're afraid. They don't know what tomorrow will bring. They don't know if they're going to be kidnapped, arrested. They don't know. And at this moment in time, Peter, inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we do nothing in our own strength, writes these letters of encouragement. And these are words not just for then, but this is the living word of God that brings hope today to his children today. So just as much as these words were an encouragement to the persecuted church then, I believe that they're an encouragement to you today. So let me read verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through fight, though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you do not see him, you love him. And even though you do not see him, now you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. And may God bless the reading. Peter, in this passage, talks about the born again believer. He says that Christ has given the born again believer new hope. That hope that we've been talking about this morning, that hope that I've already shared that is God that fills us with it, this hope that we received when we first believed, that moment when you cried out, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. I believe in you, God. I want you to live in me. Have you done that yet? Can I encourage you, if you've never given your life to Jesus, why not make today that day when you say yes to Jesus? Because this passage says that that day when you became a born-again believer, at that moment, he filled your heart with hope. And there was a reason to sing. And there was a reason to believe. And there was a reason to have joy in your heart, because you're no longer going to a lost eternity, because you've been saved by grace. Hallelujah. If that is not a reason to hope today, I don't know what is. The Bible says that the old is gone and the new is here. You are a new creation. It's like being reborn, a brand new believer. That's why folk mention or call you a born-again Christian, because you're a brand new being. And in this passage, Peter says, as a brand new creation, we're not only born again, but we've been born into a living hope. Amen. And the Greek term for that hope in that passage is an eager, confident expectation. Come on, that's the way to live. With an eager, confident expectation that you have hope in your heart. Even if you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, you have that hope. The CEV translates it as a hope that lives on, an eternal living hope, woman to woman, a hope ever after. So unlike the dead hope of this world, it is a living hope. It is energizing. It is alive. It is in the soul of each and every believer. It's lively. And our hope originates where? Originates from our living Savior. We have a living hope because we place our hope and trust in a living Savior. Jesus is not dead, he is alive. And because he is our hope is alive. Your hope is alive today because your hope's not in the world. It's not in what you see in the news. It's not in what's going on in your life or your circumstances. Your hope is alive in you today because you've placed your hope in a living Savior. And that is why it's a living hope. Peter's words here were meant to encourage those that were being persecuted. We are not being persecuted, praise be to God. But you will have your own trials. You will have your own problems. You will be going through stuff, as am I. These words are meant to encourage us today. Encourage us in our circumstances. His words to them and to us today is that our future, our tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow is secure. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why. Peter didn't know what tomorrow would hold for the Christian believers. I don't know what tomorrow holds for us. However, he was calling them to place their hope and trust in the victor, that there is victory over death, and it is through his resurrection life. Whatever the persecuted believer faced in the world, whatever we face in the world today, nothing, absolutely nothing compares to the blessings of our future hope in Christ. Jesus tried to explain this to the disciples. They didn't always get it. He told them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house is many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I'll take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Do you know the way to the place? It's through Jesus. This is the promised church of eternal life in heaven. This is the promise given to everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord. And we can be absolutely certain and sure of this promise. He didn't promise us that our life would be free from trials. He didn't say that the Christian life would be like a walk in the park on a summer's day. Sadly, I wish it was. But he told us that in this life, there would be trouble. He told us there would be wars and there would be rumors of wars. But he also said, take heart. Be of good courage. Be confident. Live with a hope and expectation because I, who am your hope, have overcome the world. So the Christian life is not free from trials and tribulations, but we can have hope. We can have an eternal living hope because Jesus made sure of it. Peter described it in 1 Peter 1:4 as an inheritance that is imperishable, it's undefiled, it's unfading, and it is kept in heaven for you. I read it explained this way by another author. We have an inheritance that will never be touched by death. It will never be stained by evil. It will never be faded with time. It's death-proof, it's age-proof, and it's sin-proof. The inheritance is fail-proof because God guards it. He protects it. He preserves it for us. He keeps it safe in heaven for us. It is holy, secure. It is eternal. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can undermine the certainty of our future hope in Christ. No one and nothing can take that away from you or me. This is the believer's living hope. It is solid and it is secure. We have this hope as an anchor. For the soul, it is firm and it is secure. We have this hope because Jesus is our hope. And he has given us this inheritance by dying on the cross and then being raised to life. This is our hope. So for now, Peter says, for a little while, you may have had to face some trials. You may have had to go through some tough times. You may have faced disappointment. You may be grieving. You've gone through some stuff. These trials have come. This testing has come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's to display the enduring quality of our faith. So what are you going to do, church? What are you going to do when trials come? Who are you going to place your hope in? Are you going to place your hope and trust in the world? Or are you going to place your hope and trust today in Jesus? I like to put it this way. It's like one of those films that you love. And you've watched time and time again. And you already know the ending. It's a happy ending. Spoiler alert. It's a happy ending. That's the only films I'll watch. Because I know they've got a happy ending. But you know this film has a happy ending. You know that the hero triumphs over evil. You know that the hero wins at the end of the day. We know the end of the story. We know that Jesus is our hero. We know that he conquered the grave. We know that he defeated sin. We know that he rose victoriously. We know that he's gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us in heaven, that our eternal life is secure. And if we already know the end of the story, then why are we without hope? Because we already know, don't we? So why then do we feel hopeless today? We, in actual fact, have so much to be hopeful for as we've been born into a living, breathing hope that no matter what the future holds, we can look up from the darkness because we already have the light. So perhaps you came through the doors of this church this morning, and perhaps if you're being completely honest with yourself, you weren't feeling too hopeful. You weren't feeling too confident and expectant. Perhaps you're going through some stuff right now and it has robbed you. It has robbed you of your hope and your peace and your joy. And in order to believe once again in that hope, you're going to have to lay down whatever it is that's causing you to look down. And you're going to need to look to Jesus today because he is the hope giver. He is the hope restorer, and he wants to give you back your hope. So I'd like to invite Martin and Esther and the band to come back. I said at the beginning, when disappointment sets in, when darkness comes over us, when we've had a dream that's been crushed, or perhaps we're focusing and dealing with a medical issue and you're struggling with that right now, or maybe you're looking into a relationship that's in tatters, and it's that that's causing you to feel hopeless. Maybe it's not seeing the end to a problem and a pain, and it can cause you to lose hope. Or maybe you're here today and the hopelessness is not for yourself, it's actually you feel hopeless for another. There's someone in your life, and they're going through these hard times, and you feel hopeless. You don't know how to help them. Well, you can. You can stand for them today. He is your living hope. So can I encourage you this morning Don't leave this place today feeling hopeless. The band are going to lead us in some worship now. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to create some space for you today, which is why they're going to lead us in a few songs. And if there's something in your life right now that is causing you to feel hopeless and helpless, can I encourage you to come forward today? Can I encourage you today that the Lord is here? He is close to you today. And he wants you to bring that which is causing you to look down. And he wants you to bring it to him. He wants you to lay your burdens down at the altar today so that you can be free, so that you can be lighter, so that you can feel that warmth and that hope, so that Jesus can switch that light on. Maybe the light's gone out for some of those reasons that I've already mentioned, or maybe it's something I haven't mentioned, but you're going through it. And maybe today you just want to say to Jesus, Jesus, going to turn the light back on. I need you, Lord. So Pastor Hugh, myself, the elders, the ministry team,